Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I think there's a... And this is why I think the ratings conversation is so stupid. Because it's just not a comparison to 1998. It's not a comparison to 1988. Like, it's probably not even a comparison to 2008. Like, we're living in a very different entertainment consumption world.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about cable, and you could talk about broadcast television, but then you also have to talk about OTT and Netflix, and you have to talk about on-demand viewing. Live sports is the most, they call it DVR proof thing you can have, but it's not impervious to it. Like, people consume media differently. You and I, we get out of here at yesterday of six, we get out of here at six something. We're leaving the TV. We don't have the option of just not knowing what's going on the game. So we either flip on ESPN 1320, listen to the game. We pull up our phones to watch it. We get home. You know, we're probably running around doing different things. We got it on our tablet. Maybe we got it on the TV. Like, there's just so many. Or we just have to rewind it and watch it later.
Right.
Like, it's not an apples to apples comparison. It is a different comparison. Clearly, the people who understand that most. And this is why the conversation is so funny. It's why it's so funny that First Take spent 2 weeks on this. The people who seem to understand it most are the television people. The NBA had no problem finding television partners this year. They had no problem finding more television partners than they ever had. They had no problem kicking one of their longest television partners to the curb to go find a new one. Why? Oh, ratings, small markets, all of this silly stuff we've been saying. Right. No. The TV people understand how this all works. They understand why the numbers today don't look like the numbers 20 years ago. They understand that the metrics that the NBA presented them in their presentation to be a part of their networks, to be a part of their OTT platforms, those are the numbers that matter. We could talk about D'Lo and Casey ratings for no one will care. It's the stupidest conversation and it's boring. But if I grab Kelly, I grab my man JC or Bill, and we use the word impressions. Now you're speaking their love language.
That's 2025.
Man. Ratings? Oh, it's cute. You're relying.
That's 85.
You're relying on little people meters. Like, yeah. All right, man, peep the YouTube channel. I'm going to show you our 2025 impressions. Y'all want to see something really shocking? I'm going to show you our impressions in February when we broke the De'Aaron Fox story. So when Elk Grove Kia calls D'Lo and says, hey, man, I heard you want an EV9. I say, yes, I do. I heard you need 10 million impressions. Let's make a trade. That's That's this. Mm-hmm. Those ratings that you see pop up. I'm curious. I still want to see them. That is not what they're moving. Oh, they're selling a different drug in 2025, man. Nah. And it is not what Nielsen wants them to peddle.
Nah, man. And you don't need a meter for your impressions to count.
No, I'm not talking about KC impressions. I'm talking about impressions that D'Lo and KC make on the internet.
Well, I would say there's nothing wrong with the KC impression. That guy, you know, he owns the Mortons. He does. And that's a good thing.
He doesn't know a good steakhouse, that's why.
Well, D'Lo, I remember when you were upset and you wrote a letter to me after Tony Romo dropped that field goal.
That never happened. Jerry, out of your line, it didn't happen. I was upset, though. I was very upset.
Did you not talk for 10 minutes afterwards?
Well, no one was home, so no, I don't think I talked for hours. I think I just sat there.
Oh, man.
Just sat there with my head down.
But that's the real, though. That's the real. Like, it's different. Like, these, yeah,
I was trying to help. I thought if I turned the game on, hey, it'd be good. I'm Good Luck D'Lo.
Bad Luck D'Lo.
I'm the opposite of Bonte. Oh, man. I'm Good Luck D'Lo. Well, well, maybe not.
Giants up 7-5 in the ninth inning, one out. Runners on second and third for the Rockies. Yeah. The Rockies. How are they even getting a hit? These guys stink. That's my boy Tyro Estrada who hit that one, though. So, all right, whatever.
Sorry about that.
But, yeah, Adam, like I said, Adam's cool. Sometimes he just – he sounds like he don't know what he's talking about. The ratings thing, I do agree with him. Like, it's a different time. You just laid out perfectly why the ratings talk is different in 2025. So I get that. But, yeah.
When I understand the court presentation – conversation. I just don't care. It doesn't affect my enjoyment. It does. I think I really was like, okay, this is weird, when I saw the side by side of the play-in tournament or not the play-in tournament, sorry, the in season tournament.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We built a whole goddamn new stadium for the in season tournament. But we're just marching out there on a regular old basketball court. Like, all right. And it, but once the game, like, I don't care.
The presentation from the NBA and from ESPN is a little lazy. It's a little lazy.
I feel like ESPN went all out in their coverage of these finals, and that like, L. Duncan's in Indiana.
Yeah,
I know Kevin's in Indiana. Like, they're,
but little stuff that should be commonplace, like the intro. They played the intro from, like, this is still ABC, but like from 2013 or something like that, and it's all these great NBA finals moments. If you're watching it, you feel like that. To some people, like, that does, like, oh man, like, this is the finals, like. Same thing Bill Russell was in, the same thing Jordan was in, because I just seen, oh, man, damn, this is special.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned the damn game on like it's NBA Wednesday in February. It's like, all right, man, like, all right, like, can we put a little bit more effort into this thing, please? So I get that. I have a bumper to dump it for Adam Silver while we're here.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have to be officially.
I'm still bugging that you got like this 8K camera. Like, it is really frustrating. It's very upsetting.
Yeah, yeah. It's staying too.
Very upsetting. Like, it's.
Adam Silver, NBA local media woes could hurt expansion momentum. Did you read
that? Yeah, bump it. No, I don't think I did.
Expansion has been a hot topic for the NBA in recent years, with a prevailing thought that the league would add two franchises after it settled its media right future.
Mm-hmm.
But even with ESPN, NBC, and Amazon Prime starting an 11-year, $77 billion deals next season, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver doesn't want to guarantee that the league's current 30 owners will greenlight expansion in its immediate future, saying, quote, the current sense is we should be exploring it. I don't think it's automatic because it depends on your perspective on the future of the league. Expansion, in a way, is selling equity in the league. And if you believe in the league, you don't necessarily want to add partners. He also said several of our team's regional networks have actually shut down. Mm. Others have recently come out of bankruptcy. Others seem to be teetering. We're going through a transition in the media.
Well, that's definitely true. This one might be on me.
They're going to lose this damn game.
They're
going to lose this damn
game. This might be on me. Sorry about this. It is 7-6 right now, and this thing is going
the
sideways.
The one day I wear my Giants hat.
I'm really upset about your camera. Like, I cannot figure this out. Like, it looks incredible. It's
Do you
crazy.
Have settings? Do you have...
I've been looking for 3 hours as to, like, what handsome feature you've got that I... That just, it's not set on mine. I keep thinking, like, Kenny got some sort of, like, touch-up.
And they're the same camera, aren't they?
It's the same exact camera.
You know, it'd be like that sometimes.
I guess so.
I mean?
No, good for you. Good for you. That's great. Absolutely great. Matt George is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes.
I heard him say something else about, like, in a separate interview about, hold on. We're going to talk about this in July, mm-hmm. talking about expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if it's not as much around the corner as a lot of people seem to think, myself included. I thought it was just a matter of time.
It felt like it was a foregone conclusion. Yeah.
He's really caught up on, and I understand it. I'm not taking a dig at him, but he's really caught up on this regional.
Well, rightfully TV so. Thing. Yeah. Like, I think Adam wants to evolve past. I mean, I don't think he said that. Mm-hmm. He feels like the regional sports network is archaic. He feels like teams are stuck in like a caveman version of a broadcast. Mm. And I don't think he knows how to get them out of it with them still being able to earn a high level of money, meaning the individual teams.
Right.
And I don't know if that's something the NBA would. I have no idea.
So with that process, like, we always thought, like, okay, get the TV partners taken care of, then it's expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Adam is like, well, actually, we need to figure this out first before we start expansion. And if that's the case, you just said, and I agree with you, he hasn't figured it out.
Yeah.
So if we're waiting.
And
so
I don't
he
know
figures
how you
it
do.
Out. Yeah, and I don't know when expansion might
because
go.
Because if NBC Sports California isn't paying the Sacramento Kings, like, who is?
There should be I would think a direct-to-consumer situation might make them more money.
So that means we are.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
That means we're paying to watch Kings
so
basketball.
So it's like the Lakers and Dodgers down in L.A., they've got networks.
Okay, I don't think I knew that they had their own network.
Yeah, they've okay. got their networks with...
I thought Lakers were like Spectrum or something.
Spectrum, but it's a Laker channel.
Oh, okay.
It's all
okay.
just Laker games,
okay.
throwbacks, all this other stuff.
Okay.
Dodgers have the same thing. It feels like, I'm sure, I know it costs a lot of money to run a network, but it seems like...
But does it? Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just assuming, actually. Seem like
maybe we should start our own.
We should.
Can't even get a preseason game on some of them.
That's ridiculous. The D'Lo and Casey network that airs Kings games. How about
that? Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
0-2.
You're going to lose me for a second.
No, I know. No, I lost myself here for a minute because I started to think I might have been bad luck for the San Francisco Giants. The bases are loaded. This would be win number 7 or 8.
8.
8 in a row. It's 7-6. The bases are loaded. I think your YouTube is ahead of the TV, so I'm not really.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Really sure what happened there.
Give me that.
Oh, that's tough. I need you to close the iPad and watch the TV.
Okay, watch
the TV. We need to be in the
semifinal all over again.
Oh my God, that was the most fun like ever doing a radio show.
Boy Rodriguez, that was a perfect pitch.
Of course,
though.
There's still like 100 games left in the season.
Pitch. See if he chases. All right, now it's 2-2 with the bases loaded. You got to give in a little bit here, because I don't think you want to go 3-2 with the runners moving. This should be a strike. This should be your best pitch right here to try and close this one down.
Soren asks, don't the Suns have their own TV network? I believe that they just got one. 3-2 here.
Almost got him to chase. All right, challenge fastball. Come on. Challenge fastball.
Bases are loaded.
Give him the heater.
A not-so-capacity crowd in San Francisco is on their feet. And
get him, Helio. He juggled the ball. He ain't going to get him. The Giants lose. God damn it.
The game is over.
Damn it.
Matt George is back next.
That's on me. Go ahead, Matt. You want to tell us about your story that you're on your way to working on?
Yeah. How dare you cut me off to resume your show?
I apologize.
Now it's my time, so let me talk. Okay? All right. Thank you.
You did do that for us on TV. It's the least we could do for you here.
That is true. Republic FC HQ, I'm on my way there because the Republic FC Academy system is doing big things. They're the only club in the region that had all of their academy teams, all their levels, make it to the national championship tournament, which is a pretty big deal. And I don't even know if there's an MLS club that can say the same thing. So going to do a story on them when we're done having our fun conversation here.
Oh, very nice.
Very cool.
Very nice. What did you think of the last couple of days of Trae Young rumors that we emphatically murdered at the start of the show?
Yeah, I missed the start of the show, so I missed what you said at the start of the show. But the the conversations always made sense, and the reports that there have been, like, the frameworks of a deal are in place. I've kind of heard the same thing, but a framework of a deal is extremely vague. It could be the same thing of, let's say you're running the Clippers and I'm running the Kings, and I pitched the Norman Powell for DeMar DeRozan conversation, and both sides left with an understanding of that's the only realistic way that a trade could work. Okay, there's a framework of a deal. Doesn't mean we're even anywhere close to actually getting that deal across the finish line. So the framework of a Trae Young deal could just be there was a conversation between the Hawks and Kings about, hey, like, would it take LaVine? Would it take draft picks? What would it take? Okay, we have a kind of an understanding of a starting point. Okay, there's a framework. All right, we'll talk later. Like, that's essentially what it could be. From what I understand through conversations that I've had with people in Atlanta, the Hawks are, funny enough, are in a very similar position to the Kings, but just the Eastern Conference version, right? They're in a position to where they are interested in competing. They're not interested in a full rebuild, but they're also not close to it, just like the Sacramento Kings are close to a truly competing at this point, even though they want to remain in that mix. So I don't know how likely it is. I also know there are some hesitations on Scott Perry's side, which I think is a good thing. I think that suggests that Scott Perry's a good general manager, and he recognizes the risk factor to Trey and what it would cost versus a likely Trey Young extension, everything like that. So it's a fun conversation to be had, and it's a real conversation, I think, but it comes with a lot of risk factor to it. And as entertaining as it would be, I don't know if that's a good path to sustainable success for Scott Perry and his hopefully long, long tenure as the general manager here in Sacramento.
So, Matt, we'll ask you the same questions that we would ask Scott Perry in the situation we've been asking all week. And honestly, obviously, you don't know all the, you know, options that are on the table, so it's a little unfair to you. But, all right, you're not crazy about Trey. We understand that. I understand why. This team still needs, like, a major, major improvement in a top-level player. What would you do? If you say no to Trey, like, what are we doing, and how can we get a player of that caliber into Sacramento?
Well, I think Scott's doing exactly what he should be doing, which he's getting involved in almost every conversation and putting feelers out there for everything that's potentially available. Like, Darius Garland is another example. Now, coming up after your guys' show is done, actually a little bit after at 5 o'clock, I have a Locked On Kings podcast dropping where I spoke to my buddy Danny Cunningham from Locked On Cavaliers about a Darius Garland trade. And he does not feel like it makes any kind of sense. He does not feel like it's really, really going to happen just because of the circumstances of the Cavaliers, unless the circumstances of the Kings and what the Kings have to offer. But if Garland is even remotely potentially available, Scott Perry should be involved in that conversation. And remind me to come back to that too, because Danny presented a Jarrett Allen trade that I was really intrigued by that I'd love to get your guys' opinion on. But, I mean, from Drew Holiday, yes. If Drew Holiday is available, be involved in that conversation. LaMelo Ball, who else? Ja Morant, like all these names that we've heard that are even floated out there, even if there's not really much of a chance, the fact that Scott Perry is involved in these conversations, or is at least putting feelers out there to test the market to see what these conversations look like, that suggests to me that he's doing the right thing. He's going to gather as much information as he can, understand how much any move is going to potentially cost and the risk and reward factors of everything, and then make the appropriate decision. The big difference is this is something that, to be fair, Monty McNair and his front office did a lot of the same thing. Problem is, Monty didn't necessarily always get across the finish line with a deal. He'd do all this work and then go through a trade deadline or whatever and not end up making any moves. Scott ultimately eventually has to get across the finish line with whatever move he wants or whatever move he sees fit. But in a long roundabout way to answer your question, Casey, like, if the move is what I think it should be, which is trying everything out and then going more like less of a star hunt and more just like available pieces out there that you could potentially get for your core going forward or for your rotation going forward, and buying yourself a year to see how things change or see how things change at the trade deadline. Like, I think that's a more than acceptable path too, if they're right. You don't have to make a big swing this year. I don't think Scott feels, or hopefully he shouldn't feel pressured to make a big swing this year if he doesn't have to.
I'm a Jared Allen fan. You want to run that by us real quick?
Yeah, so Danny and I talk more about this on the podcast, but Danny brought this up by himself right before we started recording. He asked, he said, hey, is Jonas Valanciunas available? I said, everybody on the Kings is available. Like, the Kings can't say nobody's available nobody's unavailable just based off their circumstance. And he floated out there. He said that he thinks, now it would have to be two separate trades because of the cap or apron situation in Cleveland. But essentially, the framework is Malik Monk and Jonas Valanciunas to Cleveland for Jared Allen and Isaac Okoro. I'm intrigued.
I mean, I love Jared Allen. Can we get another filler outside of Isaac Okoro?
I knew that would be the problem that you had.
Like
with it.
I mean, the guy can't throw it in the ocean. So, somebody else. That's fine. But that's obviously not the centerpiece, right? Like Jared Allen is the centerpiece. And I like Jared Allen. I think that would be a great acquisition.
Yeah, I like Jared Allen a lot. I like that, Matt. Send it to Scott. Let's see if
we can. No, you get the rim protection, you get the shot blocker. Sure, there's questions on how that would work with DeMontis Sabonis, but you get the rim protection you've been desperately needing. Dude. Isaac Okoro, I understand if Isaac's not the most exciting prospect or player on the planet to get, but he does add you some defensive wing depth that I think Doug Christie could potentially do.
Wow. Tell me more, Matt. Yeah. Oh, no, that's a great point. That's a great point, Matt.
Just a day full of technical difficulties. Huh? No,
it's a terrific day.
Terrific. Dropping out just mid-sense is crazy.
No, and they're like, man, I'm really fearful you guys lean in too much to being a YouTube show. Yeah, this is why. The YouTube show is funny. It is funny when a guest just disappears. The radio audience is confused. Matt just disappeared. He's back with us.
Sorry, I think the internet doesn't like the trade, so I got censored there. So Scott Perry, maybe not.
Scott Perry shot down your phone. Hey man, we're not doing that. Or as Will Z points out, wow, KC really doesn't like Isaac Okoro. Just threw Matt out of here. Okay, I definitely like that. I mean, do you think with this talk? I mean, I think Darius Garland is a very high quality player. You mentioned Ja, you know, some different names. Obviously, we've had the Trae Young conversation the last couple of days. Do you feel like this conversation and the at least understanding that there have been conversations about the Sacramento Kings and the likes of Trae Young or whoever else, do you think that this puts Scott Perry in a tough position?
Oh, I think Scott Perry's in a tough position no matter what. I think inheriting this job and taking over this job and the state of the organization and the roster put him in a tough position. Now, I know you guys have been talking a lot about like the New York Knicks coaching search, right? And that's a different kind of tough position because there's an expectation of winning in New York, a championship expectation that comes with that job. I don't think Perry has the same expectations taking this Kings job, or he certainly shouldn't. I think, like, if I were Perry or any general manager that interviewed for this position, although I don't know how many interviewed, it sounds like it was just Perry, I would have made sure to have it, whether it's written in my contract or an understanding when I shook ownership's hand and took the job and accepted the job, that there's a level of patience and security that comes with it. I mean, he has a mess that he needs to clean up. And he has some contracts that he needs to figure out. And he has essentially core that he needs to rebuild or at the very, very least retool. And the Kings aren't going the full-on blow-it-up tank rebuild route, which is fine. There's no guarantee that works. But, like, I don't think there is a quick fix here in Sacramento. I think Perry is exploring as accelerated of a path as he can with some of these trade conversations and rumors that we've heard. But the job is tough because it's the general manager of the Sacramento Kings and the state of their roster, not because, oh, there's ownership and fan expectations for this team to be right back in the playoff conversation. And I would love for the Kings to be back in the playoffs next year. That's not the expectation for me going into the season. And at this point, just like what year, 2023, the Kings make the playoffs, I'm pleasantly surprised. So that's what Perry's inheriting. So there's not the winning expectation right now with the job. But there is the expectation that you're the one to turn this organization around to sustainable winning. So when you get there, you stay there. You don't just get there for 1 year and are a flash in the pan.
I got you. Hey, Matt, I wanted to ask you because you spoke about it on Locked On yesterday, news that came out with what Peja Stojaković had to say, and you spoke really eloquently about your thoughts on that whole situation, and just wanted to hear you reiterate that, man, about Peja talking about that he said blackmail, but I know what he was trying to say and what he meant. Just they were kind of hamstrung because during the Fox trade because Rich Paul was trying to get him specifically to San Antonio. But just kind of your thoughts on that situation.
Yeah, I think blackmailed is a really, really strong word with heavy implications that I think was maybe lost in translation a little bit here. What Peja is saying, for the most part, I think is true, right? Like, he's talking about Rich Paul organizing and orchestrating getting his clients where he wanted his clients to go and leveraging the situation to make sure that the trade went through and Fox got to San Antonio. That was the ultimate goal. Bringing LaVine to Sacramento, I think, is less about Clutch Sports remaining in Sacramento, because they also have Doug Christie, and it's more about like putting the best possibility forward of getting the deal done, right? So I didn't have any problem with Peja's comments, and I think a lot of people thought that I was saying Peja wasn't telling the truth. That's not the case, and it's Peja's perspective on it. It's not like Peja's breaking any news. He's just his perspective on what happened. My problem or issue that I would have with Peja's statement, or if there were any similar statement that were to come out of anybody who's actively a part of the organization, is this kind of victim mentality for the Sacramento Kings. Like that ain't flying with me. That falls on deaf ears. This idea that it was Rich Paul's fault that the Kings made the Zach LaVine trade, as if we are blind and naive to the realities of like 2018 or whatever year it was when the Kings made an offer sheet for Zach LaVine when he was still with the Chicago Bulls. And when the Kings for years, Vivek Ranadive for years has been enamored with Zach LaVine. Not that there's anything wrong with that. There's a lot of Zach LaVine's game that's fun, that's exciting, whether it's his dunking or his three-point shooting, stuff that we're looking forward to seeing more of next season in Sacramento, assuming Zach sticks around. There's nothing wrong with being enamored by that. But now that this trade has happened, and now that there's a pretty common understanding that it wasn't the best move to make, and it certainly didn't work to help get the Kings to the playoffs last season, which was the ultimate goal. Now I'm not here for any like, well, it was Rich Paul that forced Zach LaVine on the Kings, and it was Rich Paul that orchestrated it to happen to where the Kings couldn't get anything better because Rich Paul made sure they couldn't get anything better than Zach LaVine in a trade. Okay, then don't make the trade, which was my point from the very beginning. Like, if that's how you felt the entire time, don't make the trade. But I know that's not how they felt the entire time, because I know ownership's infatuation with Zach LaVine. And I also know that the reason why Zach LaVine is a King and they allowed a lame duck general manager in Monty McNair to make that move is because I don't really think it was Monty McNair making that move. It was ownership making that move. So I get what Paige is saying. I have no issue with pointing out that Rich Paul did his job, even if it's at the expense of the Sacramento Kings. But I will say it before, and I will always say, Rich Paul used the leverage that the Sacramento Kings gave him, and the Sacramento Kings provided him. The Kings ultimately pulled the trigger. It was the wrong call, or it feels like the wrong call, and there's no walking that back and blaming Rich for it now.
This feels like a King screwed the Kings reference here for those that get the Brett screwed Brett. That checks out. But it's always fun to rehash the De'Aaron Fox trade for the 47,000th time.
Like, let's do it again.
It's really fun.
Peja don't ever talk. Where did this come from?
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, why did Peja wake up and go, I'm going to go on a podcast today?
Apparently he spoke on the podcast too about, and I didn't read this part of it or hear this part of it, but he spoke on the podcast too about, like, he criticized modern NBA shooters because everybody's given the green light now, and that wasn't the case when he played. Like, Peja had to earn the green light that he got to shoot whatever shots he wanted, and modern shooters don't have that. Don't quote me on all of that, but yeah. I saw a headline about that too. So Peja was getting his stuff off, I guess.
He's a little bitter because some of them records are falling. He's a little bitter because he's falling further down that all-time three-point list. That's all right, Peja.
It's a different time, Peja.
Still a good
time.
Hooper, bro. Absolutely. Still a good hooper. Still a good hooper.
One of the best.
Do you think, you know, given all of this, you talked about the pressure that Scott Perry is under. Do you think this is an active offseason, or do you think this is a situation where we talk about Darius Garland? Oh, he actually wound up getting traded here. We're talking about LaMelo Ball. Yeah, LaMelo Ball is not getting traded. We're talking about player A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and none of them wind up in Sacramento Kings uniforms. Or do you think this is an active offseason, or is this going to be a lot of talk? A lot of smoke, no fire.
I believe it's going to be active. I just don't believe it'll, or it just might not necessarily be as explosive as some of us are hoping it will be. But I think it will be active. Like, I think a DeMar DeRozan trade will happen to some extent. I mean, he has to be active in the very minimal sense of finding some sort of point guard to bring here to Sacramento, even if it's not the most exciting options, like we heard today of like Marcus Smart or Malcolm Brogdon. Like, he has to do something to address that position. And that's not just the rumors and us looking at the roster and saying, yeah, they need a point guard. Scott Perry said it himself in his introductory press conference, like, looking at this roster, I know we need a point guard. So it's going to be active to some extent. I think the Kings will make a move that will have some sort of significance, a move that will be able to hopefully spend some time killing time during this offseason, breaking down and talking about on our respective shows. But it might not be the Trae Young fireworks or the LaMelo Ball fireworks that we've had fun talking about to this point. But I do think it'll be active.
Do you guys find that frustrating a little bit where we just got done dealing with a guy, Monty McNair, who wouldn't pull the trigger on a big deal, a deal that can swing this franchise? And if that's what's going on here with Scott Perry, who I trust a lot more than Monty McNair to just evaluate how he wants to go about building a team. But if it's like, and I know people have their reservation, but hey, you can get Trae Young, he's available. You could get this player X, he's available. You can get this guy, and he just says no to all of them and comes away with Malcolm Brogdon. It's like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
That's the feeling. That doesn't mean it's going to be bad. That doesn't mean the
players
are bad.
Strong Hassan Whiteside, Glenn Robinson vibes right there.
Especially when the other players are reportedly available. Like, you could have them, and you decide not to for just kind of these random NBA players. Do you think is that deflating at all? You think that would be deflating at all for yourself or the fan base?
I feel that, KC, from like the long-term Sacramento perspective of, man, if that guy's out there, go and get him. I think we kind of maybe had that lesson taught to us in a hard way with DeRozan, maybe a little bit, although it's not a one-to-one comparison. Like, the question I ask myself is, and I was thinking about this morning because I have no life and just think about the Kings too much. Like, would Monty McNair, when he took the job, would Monty McNair have made the trade that he made as his last move before losing his job? Like, do you think the exact trade, Zach LaVine for De'Aaron Fox and all the things in between, like, when Monty felt he had job security and had a little bit of time on his side, would he have made that move? I think the answer is definitively no, or very highly unlikely, considering some of the other moves that were potentially available to him that he didn't pull the trigger on. So I use that to think about Scott Perry's situation. And in the case of Trae Young specifically, right? Scott Perry's hesitations with Trae Young, if they exist, make a tremendous amount of sense. Because let's say the deal is Zach LaVine and two future firsts for Trey. I'm just throwing that out there. I have no idea if that's the framework or not. But Zach LaVine and two future firsts for Trey, right? You're acquiring Trey with the pretty significant understanding that you're also going to look to extend Trey. Mm-hmm. And that money is going to be close to, if not at max money. Mm-hmm. So now you're talking about a trade that brings with it a 4 to 5 year commitment.
5 years in addition to,
right, a 5 year commitment in addition to the 1 or 2 years remaining on his deal. So you have that. Plus, you've traded away two future first rounders. Now, maybe it's one's the San Antonio pick or the Minnesota pick, so it's not your pick specifically. But now you're investing not only future assets, now you're committing future years and hundreds of millions of dollars to Trey Young. So Scott Perry is thinking about this from the standpoint of, does that put me in a position to be successful over the length of Trey Young's contract? And maybe even more importantly, will I even see that contract out if it doesn't work? Like, that's how I would approach it, how I would think about it if I'm Scott Perry. Because if Scott makes a big swing move for Trey Young and it doesn't work, does Scott survive that to a point where the Kings can trade Trey Young down the road? Because if they say sign Trey Young to a max extension, they're not going to be able to trade him and trade that extension until like minimum 2 years into it, right? Mm-hmm. That's how much money he's going to be paid. So if I'm Scott, my hesitations with what you're talking about, KC, of committing to a guy that's available is not so much getting him now, but committing to him long term. I think that's where the hesitation comes from.
To be clear, real quick, we're trading that sorry ass San Antonio pick. We're not trading ours. We're trading that stupid San Antonio pick that's going to wind up being 30th.
The one thing I would say, and I'm not arguing with you because what you said makes perfect sense. I guess just the premise of Scott Perry is like, all right, man, well, you better find somebody better than Trey Young in these next 2 or 3 years. Like,
agreed.
He's sitting right there for you. And if you wait just like Monty did and just like Wes and all these other guys did, and we're stuck with no disrespect, I think he's a good ball player, but we're stuck with Keegan Murray and Malik Monk because you didn't pull the trigger. Like, that, yeah, there's chances that anybody that you bring at any time might not work. Like, why are you so afraid right now is what I would ask him. But
I think that's completely fair. Like, completely fair. And Scott also, like, you're not in New York anymore, bud. Like, you're in Sacramento. It's not as easy to get anybody here. I mean, trades are pretty much your number one way of doing it. So if you can get Trey Young in a trade. So I understand completely what you're saying, KC. I think Scott Perry is going to look to, if it's a big swing, it's going to be for somebody that he feels confident that not only that it will work, but that he can attach himself to. And if there's reservations with, well, I mean, the words that Scott has used himself is winning player, right? There's concerns of, is Zach LaVine a winning player? Well, the very same concerns can be applied to Trey Young. So if those hesitations are there, I understand not wanting to trade the assets to get Trey and then financially commit to him on top of that and have that be the move that identifies you, or that you, like, what you're known for as the general manager of the Sacramento Kings is you traded for Trey Young and this is what happened. Like, I understand that reservation, at least right out the gate. Maybe a year from now, he gets his feet under him a little bit and then goes, okay, now I'm ready to pull the trigger.
What do you think about Malik? Kenny clearly hates him.
Malik?
Yeah. You just included him in the trade.
No. I included him in...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Being on your roster, and that's like the best players you have.
Oh, yeah, you said it with disgust. That's what it was.
Yeah. No, he said Keegan first, though. Make
yeah,
sure
well, he did. Well, that was a shot at
you. Who on this stream or in this building has a Malik Monk Kings jersey?
Jill Adge.
Let it be known, too, if Keegan Murray were ever wearing New York Knicks apparel, KC would be all over it. KC would be the biggest Keegan Murray fan. Keegan in the Knicks get up. We know this.
I wouldn't need him to shoot so much because he won't do it. Like Keegan.
Well, he will on another team. Tyrese did.
Well, that's true.
We never thought Tyrese would shoot the ball, and he's like, hey, Indiana, this is fun. I'm just gonna get shots up. Okay, no, seriously. Like, are you... Let's go with the idea, because it's pretty much universal, that DeMar is gone. Does Malik have a place on this team still? Is Malik's place more vital with DeMar gone, or is it all just how this works out over the course of the next couple months?
I'd still make the argument that Malik Monk is either number one or number two most important player on the roster.
Okay.
I mean, he is vital to the team, I think, like identity, the team chemistry. He's an incredibly important voice in that locker room and in that practice facility. And we know what he brings, whether more than likely it seems like off the bench again. We know that works, that's valuable, and the Sacramento Kings relied heavily on it over the last, 3 years? So I think Malik is still immensely important to the Sacramento Kings, and he will always have a place on this roster unless Scott Perry can use Malik Monk and his very favorable contract. And I think that's more of the conversation. When you talk about trading Malik Monk, it's not trading Malik. It's trading the $18 million contract and using that money to workshop your way into the talent that you're trying to acquire, right? Like, that $18 million is an incredible deal to trade. Like, that is you talk about picture-perfect tradable contract, that is it. So, like, if the Kings don't trade Malik Monk, I'm still more than confident that Malik is going to be a vital part of this team, whether it's continuing to be in a six-man role or if he and Doug Christie try again with him as a starter, maybe next to a more ball-dominant point guard, traditional point guard, if they go out and find that again. Because, like, people forget, when Malik first went into the starting lineup, He played really, really, really well. His numbers skyrocketed. What was the difference, though? He was playing next to De'Aaron Fox. Now, that's not to give De'Aaron the credit for Malik's success. It's just because that type of player took care of the point guard responsibilities and also commanded so much attention that that Malik could do his thing. As soon as the Fox stuff started happening and the injuries started happening and Malik went to a more traditional point guard role and he was next to DeMar at times and next to Devin Carter at other times or Keon Ellis, that's where it started to get a little muddy for Malik when he had to be more of the floor general. So I don't think that's his game. But Malik still is tremendously valuable to the Sacramento Kings, and it is never a bad thing if Double Zero is still here in Sacramento, in my opinion.
What you think about Devin Carter, man? We've heard his name floated around, and a lot of people believe it's just a matter of time before he's included in one of these deals. Is that somebody that you would be quick to move on from or give up on if you were the Kings, or you ready to move him at whatever right deal they need to?
I think we talked about this a little bit last week when we were talking about the Malik, Keon, and Devin conversation. It's like it feels like one of them has to go, right? It's just how can you have all three of them still on the roster? I think I said Devin is the one out of the three that I would most be willing to move on from, of course. I think Malik's the most likely of the three to go because of the contract situation we laid out. But I have no issue whatsoever, including Devin Carter as a sweetener in a trade, and his, I think, $5 million that he's owed next year as a sweetener in a trade to help get something across the finish line. If you need to throw that to somebody to give them, they want a young player in addition to draft picks or whatever. Well, here's Devin Carter. Here's that young player, right? You're not getting Keegan or you're not getting Keon. So I'm okay with that scenario, but that doesn't mean I'm giving up on Devin Carter necessarily, KC. I have reservations on how good I think Devin Carter will be and what his role will be here in Sacramento, but I also have a tremendous amount of curiosity of, hey, what does Devin Carter look like when he actually gets a training camp? Mm-hmm. Like, what does Devin Carter look like when he actually gets a summer where he's not recovering from surgery, mm-hmm. right? And now he's familiar with Doug Christie at the very least. He has intangibles to his game that I think fit Doug Christie's style, which is the hustle and the versatility on the defensive end. So I'm curious to see what Devin Carter looks like in a Kings uniform, but I would not hesitate to include him in a trade if it made me better.
And I think that's the case for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
From Keegan to Devin to Malik to Domantas Sabonis. Mentioned Keegan because I knew that I'd get a text about that from you later. Your boy. Suddenly, you're obviously, and I am too, for the record, Mike Brown, a big fan of Mike Brown. Suddenly, his name is mentioned with the New York Knicks. We had some fun, so to speak, discussing the potential of Mike Brown being the coach of the New York Knicks.
I tried to have you back, Mike.
The chat just pointed out Mike is going to hate Carl Anthony Towns. I think we raised some fair questions. What do you think about the possibility of Mike Brown, after all of this nonsense that's gone on with the New York Knicks the last couple of days, potentially being the guy to lead that team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals this year?
So I'm a tremendous fan of Mike Brown, the person, and I think Mike Brown is a really, 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 really good basketball coach. I think he absolutely should, at the very least, get an interview. If I'm thinking as the Knicks, I don't know why Mike Brown would be more appealing than Michael Malone. To me, I just don't understand why Mike would be my number one choice and my number one selection. But also, and I say this happily, and I've actually told Mike this before. I should, and we had a good laugh about it. Like, when Mike was hired, you can go back to the Locked On Kings podcast the day that Mike Brown was hired. I called the move underwhelming. I talked about how it's like, oh, I don't know if like Mike's the right guy for this, and oh, he's had his opportunities and blah, 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 blah. Like, I remember feeling that way, and I feel like I would feel the same way about a Mike Brown hiring with championship expectations in New York. But I'll also say this, he's been there before. He's done it as a head coach. He's done it as an assistant coach. That's an extremely talented roster. Now, I don't know if Mike Brown should be kicking in the door day one and going, we're sacrificing some of our offense to play defense, damn it. But Mike has his way. He's incredibly well-respected around the league. I would become as big of a Knicks fan as I think Kenny Caraway is.
Oh, that's a good point. You guys could go to the Garden together.
I'm rooting for him wherever he goes.
You guys could make TikTok videos on KC's TikTok account that says, "Don't you wish you were a Knick?"
Are we gonna like go yell at Brian Windhorst when he walks past us now?
You can throw trash at strangers.
Now I would advise Matt not to do that. Right? I got Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson.
Whose voice?
If these guys aren't playing defense. If they're not playing defense, okay. I'm going to have to sub them in
that's
for campaign and Precious Achiuwa. That's just what I'm going to have to do. I think he brings things to the table these guys don't bring when you talk about Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns.
Can you end this?
Casey. It's so midway through that, just workshop this. Midway through that, you have to stop what you're saying and go, and then continue. That's what you got to do. And then put your foot up on the table.
The only reason I knew who KC's impression was because he pushed up his glasses.
That's when I got it.
Zabo's right. My fault. When I talk about Karl Anthony, I'm talking about my guys.
Okay. I don't like that one's not good.
It's offensive.
You kept that. It kind of is.
Zabo says it's blue chipper.
And I don't know why. It feels racist.
All right, says that's good.
That is not good. The Chatty House is nothing but an abler. You guys are enablers. You enable this terrible behavior from Kenny.
That sounds like Kenny Caraway's The Rock impression doing a Mike Brown impression. That's what it sounds like.
No. Yeah. No, that's not what it sounds like. I'll tell you that right now. But you've got 6 weeks. To get it done, Matt. You got 6 weeks.
It's actually getting better.
It was always there.
No, I think it's getting better. I'm hearing it now.
Good stuff, man. Hey, Matt, while we have you here, unless you got basketball stuff to talk about before we leave.
Well, I just wanted to make sure everybody know we're on with Matt.
We are on with
Matt. On Monday.
I'm going to put him on the spot. What's up, game seven? What's up?
Who's your game seven?
Oh, now you want game seven.
No. Last year it was offensive, to be clear. That you put us on for game
seven. We said on game one, we'll never see you.
We'll see you guys the first game at the Golden 1 Center. Who is your game seven team? I need to know.
There isn't one at this point in time.
All right. All right.
Game four is the high flyer, Henry Turner.
Okay.
Nice. Game five is the return of D'Lo and KC, and that's as far as we've gotten.
Okay.
Don't get greedy.
D'Lo and KC are game six, and D'Lo and KC are game seven.
There we go. We're in there.
Well, hold on.
It was exciting. Like, I didn't know who was on last night. Yeah. I was like, who is it, man? What's going on here? Who is it going to be? And then Deuce, I was like, oh, it's Deuce.
Yeah. Now, that is fun. That's the best part about hanging around for the post game. It's not what you guys have to say. It's like the big reveal for who the guest is.
We can be like the Royal Rumble gimmick.
That's
it.
Show. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's going to be the surprise interest. I'm down.
Yeah.
Jesse, what are you doing for game seven?
Jesse pulling up to game seven. TV Jesse just looking uninterested. Just looking so bored.
I don't know. They
won
a championship or whatever. I don't care.
Not better than the Celtics.
His hood's up.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, all right. Did you have something you want to throw his way? I think we have to go.
No, we can leave. Well, I'll ask him off the stream. It's all good. Well, off the radio.
We have 1 minute and 10 seconds.
You interested in R-Truth? Like this new R-Truth character he's got going on?
To be honest with you, I haven't seen it since he returned. I haven't been really paying attention.
It's good. It's good. It's worth checking out.
Carry the company, unlike Cody.
Okay. All right, man.
Fair.
Well, how about heel John Cena?
Oh, that is awful.
They thought they were doing the Hogan turn, and they wound up doing a Big Show turn.
Something smells.
Sucks. All right. Great stuff, Matt. Good luck with the Republic tonight. You know we're locked in for game 4 tomorrow, and, of course, we'll see you on Monday. We're going to head over to 102.5 if you want to join us. If not, make sure you are tapped in tomorrow morning beginning at 10 a.m. With the insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes. Oh.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.